check it out one time.
Great morning, Truth Nation. Welcome to Truth in the Morning on the award-winning 101.7 FM, The Truth. We're broadcasting live from the American Family Insurance Studio in the heart of downtown at The Avenue. I am the legendary Home Blow, along with my brother,
MC Dame Elsie, in the building.
What's going on with you, Dame? How you feeling this morning,
bro? I'm feeling lost because I think I left my glasses in the car. It's going to be a terrible show. Hold on, let me see. There they go.
Okay. I was going to say,
you know how we get.
Yeah.
You know, I'm that age where I got to put my glasses on to read stuff. And I do a lot of reading up here in the morning. And so, you know, I got a birthday next week.
See?
Yeah, I'll be 50 next week, man.
Okay, man. Happy early. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Yeah. I'll probably be on air that day.
That part.
If all goes well.
There go the applause.
There they go. There they go.
There go the applause. Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm at that age. And you know, it just happened so suddenly where it was like during the pandemic, I could see fine.
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing I know, I started squinting. And I was doing stuff. And I was like, what the hell is, what's going on? And then I grabbed somebody's reading glasses, and I was like, oh, I can see good now.
Right.
And then I was like, oh, no. Because I've always had good vision.
Grown man syndrome.
Right. I've always had perfect vision.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Oh,
so,
no.
I just started getting little readers from Walgreens. Shout out to my brothers and sisters that get readers from Walgreens.
Mm-hmm.
And then Walgreens stopped having them, and I had to search out a Walgreens that had them. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know. But then when I go to get my eyes checked, they're like, oh, your vision is fine. Just get some readers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm at that point.
Yeah.
And so when people see me put them on, they're like. I FaceTimed with my daughter in college the other day, and she's like, dog, you old.
Heck no.
You know, we kid around. She's like, dog, you old. You got glasses on.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, mm-hmm. Whatever. I said other things, but I can't.
Yeah. You know, I have a pet peeve with people who wear sunglasses at a nightclub. You know what I'm saying?
That's like, just ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm like, you already can't see.
You too cool.
That's why you bumping into everybody.
You trying to be so cool.
Right.
Trying to show off these shades that cost you $100 or $300.
Knowing you can't see.
Show off your buffs.
I wear my sunglasses.
I knew you was going to sing that. I was going to give you the honor of singing it. I was about to, but mm-hmm. I gave you the honors. Yeah, you wear your sunglasses in your shades in the club. Come on, fam.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
You're
trying to be too cool.
Don't forget, coming up at 8 a.m. Central Standard Time, it's What the Business Is, where, of course,
you get
to tell us what your business is and where you're located and things you learned maybe along the way. And it's powered by We Energies, delivering the energy that powers local business. So that's coming up at 8 a.m. So y'all get prepared for that. Get prepared for that. Dane, there's a new thing for that is on the books from the DPW, right? So DPW ended up saying, in order to try to help, you know, with some of the flooding that's going on from the rain and things to that nature, they want people to start bagging their leaves. So me and Bailey had a chance to kind of talk about it a little bit on yesterday. And my thing is, okay, I get it. I understand why the bags, you know, why they're saying bags or whatnot. But they should at least give us some bags.
Yeah, they
to bag them up. You feel what I'm saying? Like, instead of us having to already go into, you know, the budget, you know, some people barely get the regular big garbage bags mm-hmm. for themselves. And now when you're talking about leaves, man.
You think people are going to be putting them in little
little white hefty
little
bags.
Little thank you bags.
Right.
Thank you corner store bags.
You're going to have about
a million thank
yeah,
you
man.
Just to be petty.
Yeah,
I would do
man.
That.
You would.
I would be
that petty
enough to do that. And they come and they pick up a bunch of 1,000 little thank you bags with 12 leaves in each one or something,
mm-hmm.
you know. But
mm-hmm.
but that's all jokes aside. I don't know if the leaves are the problem with the flooding. Are they saying that's what it is?
Well,
because we already talked about the deep tunnel system and how it can hold 521 million gallons and it fills up.
Mm-hmm.
So they think the leaves. Are the problem that the leaves are going to fix the flooding?
Listen.
This sounds like a bunch of bahooey.
Well, they're getting some backlash.
I hope so.
WISN 12 News has a story on it. where it says Milwaukee Alderman challenged new bag leaf policy. And because the story goes, Milwaukee homeowners will need to bag their leaves this fall instead of sweeping them into piles or onto the street. Following a surprise policy change announced Wednesday by the Department of Public Works to address flooding concerns, Burl Harper, a resident of Cold Spring Park, said leftover leaves on her street contributed to flooding after record rainfall earlier this month. She's not convinced that the new policy will help. Are you going to actually come out on a scheduled time and get those bags up? Or are we going to turn around and it's blowing down the street? Harper said. Gerald Krushke, commissioner of the Milwaukee Department of Public Works, announced the city will require residents to bag their leaves instead of piling them along curbs. Krushke, if I'm pronouncing that right, says the change will start this fall. It took the Public Works Committee by surprise. We do not need city approval. They don't need city approval to do this, make this policy.
So this is a policy they can make in DPW without having approval from the Alder people. Because this is just an in-house policy of how they want the garbage to be done.
Yep. And as we,
I wonder why that is.
It says, as we just discussed in this committee meeting, that will come black. That will come black and lay out the plan for them so everyone understands. Krushke said after the meeting on Wednesday. Alderman Lamont Westmoreland said he wished DPW had consulted the public and the council before implementing the policy. They say it's going to start this fall. The hell it is. Not over my dead body, he said. Yeah. He noted the change has overwhelmed his office with constituent calls. It's killed the efficiency of my office today, Westmoreland said. Alderman Scott Spiker said, also criticized the decision, saying it places an undue burden on residents. You're telling me I have this city service that's been provided for decades, and now I have to tie everything up in a bow, Spiker said. Some folks have trouble enough raking to the curb. Asking this puts them to the breaking point. While DPW does not require council approval to change the policy, aldermen can file a resolution to block it.
That's what's going to happen.
Harper voiced her concerns about the impact on retirees like herself. She said, now you're telling me that now that I'm retired and I'm on Social Security, we want this? You're constantly raising the taxes, and I don't understand it, she said. A DPW spokesperson said the announcement was just the beginning of the process and that the department is working on a detailed plan for bag leave pickup to present to the Common Council later this year. The spokesperson added that DPW welcomes the alderman's debate and is committed to collaborating on a solution.
This will never happen. As soon as you said they can pass a resolution, this is just a wrap. This is them just throwing that out there. This will never happen. Mm-hmm. I don't even know why Krushke and them did this. And so it shows such an out of touch position. You're out of touch if you think that in today's climate of everyone complaining about getting less for more. We're paying more taxes, and we're getting less. And now you're going to throw out there, now you're going to have to put your own leaves in the bag. Right. You know what I'm saying? Right. So in a general sense, I would have no problem with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But under the current circumstances in which we exist in Milwaukee, where taxes, you know, Kyle just did a whole show about taxes going up.
Right.
Everybody's getting their tax assessments. Everything's going up. Everything's going up. And we're complaining about getting less. We got potholes here. We got this there. Woo, woo, wham. And now you want us to go out here and spend another 2 hours putting leaves in bags. So we're spending our time helping you do less with more of our money.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's going to go for that. And that's just so out of touch with everything across the board. And so now what you're going to say is, what happens if they don't put their leaves in the bags?
Hey, what's the penalty?
What's the penalty? Are you going to penalize the homeowner? What if it's a landlord? You're going to penalize these people? What if the renters decide, I'm not putting it in this bag?
Mm-hmm.
And so now you're just going to leave them there? So now it's going to be leaves all over the block again? Yeah. So our inner city neighborhoods, where we have a transient population in a lot of these areas,
mm-hmm.
who've already shown, because it is a transient population, because we don't have that community like we used to have, where right. they take care of everything on the block, we've already shown that that needs work, that mm-hmm. that needs assistance. Mm-hmm. You're asking them to put this stuff in bags, and if they don't, then what? You just going to leave them there? So now you got leaves
all over the place already.
Mm-hmm.
And then for our homeowners, and this is absolutely correct here, our homeowners, our taxes went up.
Yep.
Crazy, right?
Real talk.
I barely really, I was thinking about that this morning. I really don't ever even look at it or make a big stink about it, because what I'm going to do, I'm going to pay it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we know we got to pay it.
So
yeah.
I can get mad, but I can just pay it, right? So it's really mm-hmm. nothing much to do about nothing, because even though our money is being taken, they got us by the kahunas.
Yeah, I was just going to say kahunas, yeah.
I was going to say something else, but
I know you were.
Because I was in the zone, and sometimes absolutely. I get in the zone,
but that's why I'm here. On radio. That's why we, you know what I mean?
We see each other, Martin.
Yes, sir.
But I don't understand why they would do this right now, right in this moment, after tax assessments
mm-hmm.
just came out. It wasn't well planned. And right. for them, and then to just spring it on the alders, they're going to be like, are you nuts?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're supposed to have their hands, you know, their fingers on the pulse of the society, pulse of the city, right? Are you nuts?
And that's why Alderman Lamont Westmoreland, it tore up his whole day, like, you know, because he fielding these calls, like, what is this? You know what I'm saying? And then knowing, like, well, we don't have the authority. They didn't need their permission. So, yeah, it's definitely artists, a situation.
Artists hate when anyone tells them they don't need their permission. Oh, you don't need my permission?
Mm-hmm.
Bet.
Right.
It ain't going to happen. I can tell y'all that right now. We talking about it,
mm-hmm.
but they're going to write some type of resolution to block that, and they're going to make DPW do it the way they've been doing it.
Yeah, because like I say, at least give bags. Because leaves be blowing from down the street, man. And then what happens when you see all of these bags sitting there waiting to be collected? And the other problem is, even when it was just the leaves, when they said they were picking up the leaves, they didn't come pick up the leaves.
It would be different if you had a stellar record on picking up leaves and nobody ever had to. And you know, I love my DPW people. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the.
I gave them love yesterday.
And
hearing about this policy.
And listen, it would be different if you had a stellar record of making it to all of the places to get up all of the leaves. If nobody ever had to call their alder person and tell them they didn't come get my leaves. My leaves are still sitting out here. If that was the case, hey, cool. Mm-hmm. But now you're just going to have bags sitting there in the middle of the winter taking up parking spaces where they already getting charged more for parking. So mm-hmm. now they got to park around the corner, or they got to park somewhere illegally and get tickets and do all. And all of this has ramifications on the bottom line of our community's budgets.
That part. We got to get ready to take care of some bills. You're listening to Truth in the Morning on the award-winning 101.7 FM, The Truth. When we return, there was a Milwaukee apartment building fire this morning, and 5 people had to jump from balconies. 6 people had to be rescued. It was a tremendous amount of fire departments and emergency vehicles that had to go to the scene. So we'll talk about that. And again, like fire safety, just in general. Again, we got to take care of these bills. Andrew, OG Andrew, great morning. Love you. Appreciate you.
Yeah, we got Andrew this morning.
Yeah, yeah. Let's absolutely. Yeah. We'll be black.
This is Truth in the Morning on 101.7 The Truth.
Truth Nation, welcome black. I'm the legendary Homa Blow, along with my brother,
MC Dame Elzy in the building.
Shout out to our girl, Bailey Coleman. And, you know, we're going to get to the fire and of course, pray for everybody that made it out safely, and even those who had to jump and, you know, had to be rescued from this. It was massive. I like when they were first showing it on Fox 6 news this morning, it just showed so many emergency vehicle lights. You know what I'm saying? It was crazy. It was crazy. I'm like, wow, what the hell is really going on? And at the time, they were just saying on the north side on West Fond du Lac Avenue. I'm like, yeah, but where? But where? So later on in the broadcast, and they were saying like up around 100 and something and Fond du Lac Avenue here in Milwaukee. But yeah, you could tell that it was obviously a massive fire. There's pictures from earlier that show the flames shooting from the building.
That's always been a fear of mine, is being caught in a fire on the upper floor.
Man. Yep. And so We want to talk about that. We're also going to end up, because we were talking about DPW after we talked about this fire. There was a DPW DNS,
yeah, worker,
Department of Neighborhood Services,
got carjacked.
Yeah, and shot.
Yeah, shot at. It went through his jacket, but yeah, shot at. Yeah,
yeah. It touched him.
It's crazy.
You know what I mean? So
yeah.
That's, so
it's close enough.
Right. That's where I'm going. Like, mm-hmm. You know, he got a scar that he didn't have before.
I wonder if I know him. You know? I wonder if it was my guy, because he worked in that district, but it might have been if it was a commercial building. It depends. Anyway.
So we'll talk about that. But we have a clip for the fire that I'm talking about that took place here in Milwaukee this morning. OG Andrew, can you play that clip from Fox 6 News?
We're going to have photojournalist Copen pan to some of the damage, and police are now investigating here this apartment complex fire. We know from the battalion chief, this is, well, first things first, this is right off Fond du Lac Avenue. And from the battalion chief, he says that the fire was found on the first and second floor of this building. Five people jumped from the second floor balconies and were taken to the hospital. We actually spoke to one of those tenants just moments ago, who said that he woke up and there was smoke in the hallway, and he just got everything. He got his keys and he jumped out of the window to save his life. He didn't even put shoes on. So when we talked to him, he wasn't wearing shoes. In addition, there were six other residents that were removed by fire crews with ladders and rescued from the building. It's an 8-unit apartment building off Fond du Lac Avenue. So roughly 40 people. We know there's dozens displaced, according to the battalion chief, and that the Red Cross is assisting. We know that five people were injured and taken to the hospital, and the fire was put out. But right now, the cause is still under investigation. As for the status of those five people who were injured, we don't know at this time. Of course, we're working to learn more details, and as they come, we'll bring them to you on air and on.
Yeah, crazy. Now, you know, so what you have to put into perspective with this, there was five people that were hurt escaping, and six other people that had to be rescued. So you're talking about 11 people just in that situation. But like they say, it was dozens of people that are displaced because of this situation. And, you know, it's somehow on yesterday I got to talking about smoke detectors and, you know, how important it is to have smoke detectors, and talking about the fires that take place. And it also reminds me of why it's always important every year for my birthday party for the kids, that I have the MFD Mobile Survive Alive House there, mm-hmm. or a fire engine there, because so children can learn, you know, fire safety. Because sometimes, in my opinion, we get grown and we don't remember half of the escape plans and all of this.
Just doing that stuff.
Yeah, we just don't keep up with it. But with how a lot of children are, when they're eager to learn and they done learned something, they get their plastic fire hat, they get their sticker from the firefighters, and they really feel like, hey, I'm a certified firefighter now.
I remember being young and having those similar situations where the police and the fire department would come someplace and they would say, oh, when you get home, make sure you do a fire plan and this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
So I went home and, you know, I was telling my mama, hey, mama, we got to do a fire plan. We got to do an escape plan. She's like, boy, we live in a 1,200 square foot house, 3-bedroom house. Leave. That's what
I'm saying. See,
she was like, leave. That's your escape plan. You see a window, go out it. That's your escape plan.
See, but
not to make light of the situation,
right.
But I was that kid that was concerned about
it. Right, absolutely. And that's the point that I make, because when those kids come and they go through that MFD Mobile Survive Alive House, when they get to see.
It's on their mind.
Yeah. So now they go home just like you did.
Yeah.
And that's my hope, that they go home and be like, do we have an escape plan? Mom, did you know we got a daddy?
Right.
Daddy, you know we supposed to drop on the floor and roll and all of that. Stop, drop, and roll. Because a lot of times we so busy dealing with life-lifing, we ain't really even thinking about it. And nobody really thinks that the fire is going to happen to them until it does.
Until it does. And so that, you know, when I had those past tenants and they had
Six kids. There's only supposed to have three. But that's neither here nor there. Let's not rehash those issues. Mm-hmm. That was one of my fears. Like, what if they get a hold of this? Thankfully, they had a water obsession and not a fire obsession.
Right.
So I had to make sure the smoke detector's working, the fire extinguisher was working in the back hallway, stuff like, I think it, yeah, they might have used it already because I saw it was gone. Mm-hmm. So I got to put that back. So I got to make sure that type of stuff is working, because if not, I'm held responsible as a property owner that I didn't provide those types of things. And so when I used to work for DNS as a building inspector, but a commercial code enforcement inspector, and the main thing that we did was fire inspections on commercial properties, you would make sure that the smoke detectors was working. Mm-hmm. In some instances, if they didn't have, before they made it so that they could just provide a report saying that they checked these smoke detectors, you would actually go by and check.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
When I first started, we had a stick where we would go through apartment buildings and we would check it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And we would check all of these in the hallways. We check them to make sure they go off. Once they started accepting the reports, that we didn't have to do that. But I'm just saying, it's very important. And we used to also go on days, some days when I first started with DNS, and this is early 2000s, we would hook up with the fire department and we would go out and we would spend a day just going through neighborhoods passing out smoke detectors.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what happened to the budget for that, the grant for that, that allowed for that to happen. But those are some things that may need to start happening again with all of these fires that are taking place.
The fire department, they will come out, you know, and install. And I was talking about that on yesterday. That's why I say this is so ironic that, you know, we had this major fire, which is what I was talking about. We have to make sure that we got working smoke detectors and even the carbon monoxide detectors, because that's a silent killer.
It's important.
If you don't have something to let you know, you'll just start feeling like you having this migraine headache, you feeling fatigue and all of that, and not understand that it's all this time you may have been living in a house with carbon monoxide being released. And by the time you find out, you know, you in the worst stage of it. You know what I mean? So it's very, very important that we do this. And again, for our children, you got to give them a plan, because if you don't, they're just running around saying, mama, mama, daddy, daddy, grandma, you know, wherever they at. Mm-hmm. They just calling for their brother or their sister and just panicking, not knowing. And that's why I think it's very important that we do understand how important it is. What is the meeting spot? So we know that everybody's out. So we don't try to call ourselves running back in. Where my son? Where my daughter? You get what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And some people, I just want people to know this when I talk about different things, Dame. I'm very intentional when I say the mother and then I say the father, because oftentimes the father is left out and we just say, run to mama, run to mama, run to mama. There's fathers that are there doing what they're supposed to do. And I just never want to omit us as fathers out of the equation when we're talking about these different things, because everybody is not necessarily in a situation where daddy is not there.
And in most cases, not to, you know, get off subject, but in most cases, the father, they listen, them kids, if that father is there and the father is involved and he's telling them this is what we're going to do, them kids going to remember it.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep. We got to get ready to take care of some bills, Truth Nation. The Truth Talk text lines, 833-212-1017. We'll be black.
This is Truth in the Morning on 101.7 The Truth.
Truth Nation, welcome black.
Welcome back, y'all.
We're inside the American Family Insurance Studio in the heart of downtown at the Avenue. I'm the legendary Home of Blow, along with my brother,
MC Dame LZ, in the building.
And OG Andrew, as my eyes correct with how many subscribers we have? You know, we reached the 7,000 mark, but what are we at now? It's like, I see a 3 and a 1. I'm like, okay, we moving on up quick. We're going to get that information. I just put OG Andrew on the spot.
You just put him on the spot real quick. Yeah. So it's probably 7,310.
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, it's so close, Dan. You want to guess again?
311?
12. Look at us.
Look, see, I'm close.
See?
See?
See, Will knows I get busy with some numbers. So that's
OG Andrew.
I'm saying
what you
Will,
said, but Will knows. Yeah, he'd be like, yeah.
But
like,
OG Andrew knows. Like,
come
as
on,
well.
Dame will get it.
Yeah. So we getting there, y'all. We almost there.
Yeah, absolutely.
688 away. Let's get it.
Yeah. Shout out to everybody on our YouTube page. As Dame has replied with us, letting you know that we see you and we wishing you a great morning. Love you and appreciate you. To everybody, Nurse Ari and Kawanda, the whole crew, everybody that has checked in. So, again, to kind of put a close to the other thing, make sure y'all check y'all smoke detectors. If you don't have a carbon monoxide detector, please get one of those as well. Not just if you have children, but just for you. You know what I'm saying? If you live alone, you still need to make sure that you have them. And it was a point that was brought up on yesterday that it's mandated that, and I think, Dame, you were kind of talking about it, that if you are a landlord or whatever, or you know, property owner, you have to make sure that they have smoke detectors that are properly placed, and you have to check them at least once a year. Mm-hmm. So, but
and that's done by you know building inspectors, and they mm-hmm. they mandate and they come out, especially if it's property over three units, then it's inspected by the city. If it's under three units, meaning a duplex or something like that, then that's something that we wouldn't as a City of Milwaukee and the building inspector, we wouldn't inspect unless it was a complaint against it or something.
Mm-hmm. So, I just want people to be safe, you know, because we don't want it to happen to us. And we think that our homes, our apartments, you know, our humble abodes are invincible to it. But anything can happen. Like it can be an electrical fire. It's not, you may not have been careless in any other way, but the electricity or something in your wall might be, you know, aging and you have no clue. You know, your light come on, your light go off, you hitting the switch. So you're not thinking about, oh, the wiring may be bad or may need to be replaced. Mm-hmm. And it ends up starting a fire. And are you really prepared, you know, for that situation? Do you have an escape plan? Do you have, I gave ideas of what people could do to make sure that you don't have to, when you have to just leave out with whatever to make sure that you still have some clothing or some shoes or some things for the children, if there's mm-hmm. children there, just to give you some type of comfort.
You got to have that bag ready.
Yeah.
And you got to be prepared, like you just said. Be prepared, have that bag ready.
What I suggest that people do, again, mine is all proactive, Dane. Mine is proactive with saying, like, don't wait till it happens or it could happen. Get you some plastic bins and put some of your clothes in it. If you have children, get some bins with some of their clothes in it, some shoes, children that have favorite toys or whatever, just so if that worst case scenario happens and now you take those storage bins to whether you have a unit, if you get a unit, or you just have a family member or a friend that you can say, hey, look, I'd like to leave these in your basement or whatever the case may be. And if I had to pay you $25 a month or whatever the case may be, just to have them stored. So that way, if something does happen, you know what I mean? Now, at least you're not starting from scratch. You may have had to run out in just a robe or whatever the case may be, but now you know that you can at least go and the children can have some clothes, because we know people are going to donate clothes and shoes, but they'll have something. You'll all have something of your
until
own.
Until that moment comes when you get those donations and stuff like that.
Saying, to keep
you got
going.
Something.
Yeah, so
that's pretty smart.
Yeah. So that's one of the things that I put out there. But we were talking about this incident with a DNS worker.
Mm-hmm.
And OG Andrew, I believe, has the news clip. Is that the Fox 6 news clip for this situation? Okay, WISN. But yeah, and when you hear about the ages, that's crazy. So we're going to have OG Andrew play this clip so you'll be brought up to speed. And we need to talk about this. We'll be
in the middle of the afternoon. Yeah, Derek and Deanna, 3:30 in the afternoon. This building inspector here in the area with police checking on a nuisance property. That is when this group of children pulled a gun on him and tried to steal his car. Remnants of a crime scene remain along Wisconsin Avenue Thursday. It's here the Department of Neighborhood Services says one of their own inspectors was shot at as a group of children tried to steal his car. The suspected shooter, just 11 years old. The department saying, quote, the inspector was able to move out of the line of fire. His jacket was grazed by a bullet.
Did you hear the gunfire at all?
No, we didn't hear anything. No, you don't hear anything. You've seen just a bunch of cops here. A guy was standing over here. They had his jacket off.
Alejandra Hernandez did not want to be on camera Thursday, but describes the moment police moved in.
You've seen the fire truck ambulance pull up. Everything got shut down on our neighborhood. And I had to wait until the next morning to find out everything that happened because the police wouldn't tell us anything.
Police say the kids got into a different stolen car, leading officers on a chase. It ended in a crash here near 12th and State, near Sinai Hospital and Marquette University. Our cameras capturing a smashed-up silver sedan at the scene. Police arresting the underage driver, just 14 years old, a 16-year-old, and the 11-year-old shooter.
The fact that, you know, we got 11-year-olds running around shooting at people and stealing cars, it's crazy.
The inspector's 17-year career with the city, longer than any of the suspects, have been alive.
And Hannah, investigators.
Yeah.
That's crazy, man. And the 11-year-old shooter. The 11-year-old was the shooter.
Yeah. If he'd been there 17 years, I definitely know who it was. And I just found out who it was, but I ain't going to say his name. Yeah, that is.
Prayers going out
prayers
to him.
Yeah. And you know what's, when I was a building inspector, I was a building inspector for 17 years, y'all. And when I would be in those situations, and you travel in some neighborhoods, you know, I used to keep my placard. They used to give us a placard that says, you know, on official duty,
right,
city
right,
Milwaukee
right.
building inspector. Mm-hmm. I would keep mine. Other people would just put it in there because they thought they didn't want to be, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? They didn't want to become a victim like this because they thought if they saw that card, then they would think, oh, he's a city employee. He must have got some money. He got something in his car.
Right.
Or something like that. I knew that if I kept that placard in my car, that when I go, because I've seen it happen, when I go in buildings and then kids, they'll send a kid to go look at the car. And then the kid would go back and be like, oh, that's a city inspector. And so then when I come back in that area or I would drive around or I would go do something, they would know who I was. Off top, oh, that's the city inspector. As soon as I walk in, they move out the way. That's the city inspector. They understood I was there to help them, right?
Right, right, right.
In this situation, you got somebody that is, and from what it said, they was going to check a nuisance property on 32nd in Wisconsin. And so he was with the police. That's the crazy part. He was going to meet the police. Wow. The police were there. That's why they were able to catch him
right.
so fast.
Right.
Because the police were right there. When they go check nuisance properties, they have the police with them. So the police was right there. So he's getting out of his car. So he's not even thinking I need to be checking my ones and twos and have my head on the swivel because he's going to meet with the police, right? And so all of that stuff I said about, you know, safety precautions and keeping your plan, it don't really matter because you think you're with the police. And the odd thing about this doesn't happen a lot, but it happens enough, right? I never was accosted or anything like that in my 17 years, thank God. But you hear that it would happen. And a guy that I used to work with, his name is Greg Shiskevich. Greg, we called him Ziggy. He was murdered in that way, right? So when we started the Big Clean, we named it in his honor. You know what I'm saying? Because that was my guy.
Absolutely.
He trained me when I was over at Department of Neighborhood Services. He was one of the trainers. They would send us to so many different people. But he was one of the people that, and he was so cool, right? And so I say all of that to say, a lot of times we this morning got on some City of Milwaukee employees about the garbage picking and this, that, and the other, right? But they are doing something where even if they don't carry a gun, even if they don't do all of those types, every day they go out there, they putting their life kind of on the line. You know what I'm saying? Because unfortunately, that's the city and the times that we live in where if people think you got anything, they going to try to take it.
Right.
And that goes, that happens anywhere, everywhere across this country. And in this situation, this inspector thought, you know, I'm going to meet the police.
That's right.
I'm safe. I'm good.
Right.
And then you got a 16-year-old, a 14-year-old, and an 11-year-old run up on him. Now, do I think the 11-year-old was a shooter? Probably not. I think it was probably one of the other kids, and they made the 11-year-old say it. That's what I think. But I could be wrong. And if it was an 11-year-old shooter, come on, man. It's 16, 14, and that's what I'm saying. A lot of the kids that I deal with, that I mentor, would be that 11-year-old, right? Mm-hmm. And they are influenced by those that are older than them. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is you get a 16-year-old and a 14-year-old, like, man, this is what we do. We in these streets. We getting it in. And now they with them. I got a kid that's that same way right now. You know what I'm saying? He's a good kid, but he's running around with the wrong people. And so you try to tell him, look, man, you can't. They are using you. They think you're gullible. They think you're young. You're gullible. You're gonna do it. And then when it hits the fan, they just gonna put it off on you. And that's what happened. It hit the fan. They put it off on him. You know what I'm saying? And he was the one driving. This, that, I'm trying to tell him, you getting off paper right now, but you gonna still gonna hang out with these other cats that was doing that when the time comes.
Yeah, unfortunately,
there's so many issues in this story. That's why I wanted to talk about it.
Yeah, yeah. We've got some situations though, bro. That in my opinion, like, I unfortunately believe that he was the 11-year-old was the shooter. I hate to have to hear it because we already know. We got to get ready to take care of some bills. Troop Nation, we want to talk with you. We want to hear your thoughts and opinions on this. We want to hear your truth. 833-212-1017. Also, don't forget, coming up at 8 a.m. Central Standard Time is What the Business Is, where you get to call in and let us know what your business is, or black-owned business that you support, or an event that you may have coming up. It's powered by We Energies, energies that powers local business. We'll be black.
This is Truth in the Morning on 101.7 The Truth.
Welcome, Black Truth Nation. I am the legendary Home of Blow, along with my brother,
MC Dame Melzy, in the building.
And shout out to our girl, Bailey Coleman.
$5,000.
Speaking of that.
See, I did it right on time.
This morning, during The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on the award-winning 101.7 FM The Truth, I've been told that it'll probably be around the 11 o'clock hour.
This is your chance if you
that
won.
Those that qualified. If you were our lucky number caller while we were taking entries, today is the day that you will find out if you are going to be how much?
$5,000
richer. You know what I mean? How about that?
Do Bailey get mad at that? When do you do it when she's here?
No.
You don't do it?
No.
You got to do it when she's here and see what she does.
Bailey, what you think? I'm sure she's listening. You probably get a text.
She always is listening.
You probably get a text. You're like, okay, Dame.
You're doing it too much.
Okay.
We got the joke. It's not funny no more.
Right. Anyway, that's Bailey. So what are we talking about? Be like, Bailey, no, hold on. We still talking about this. Okay. So what are we talking about?
Right.
Bailey, I know you, and I know your tactics. You know what I'm saying? So, yes. See, you know, I think we can go ahead and, you know, kind of do those things a little more now. I'm like, yeah, Bailey.
Yeah.
But she was like, you and her are sticklers with the time thing. So, you know, y'all both peas in a pod on that. Two peas in a pod.
Well, you who a stickler?
Yeah, you and Bailey. It's not that big a deal they're a little late after 8 a.m., you know.
Well,
you know, y'all give some leniency.
We're going to have that conversation before 8 a.m. today?
No, we ain't going to even have it at 8 a.m. because it's going to be what the business is. Yeah. But, yeah, I told her how we had a whole segment on it. It wasn't intentional.
It just happens.
But it happened. It's just funny. You know, sometimes it happened.
It's just funny. Shout out to everybody on the YouTube. Yeah, Will Text.
Will D9 said, would you allow your kids to hang out with those kids who were involved?
It ain't about allowing. Nobody allows their kids to do anything. It's about, can you control your kid enough to make them stop? And that's what I run into with a lot of my kids, is that their parents may want something different for them, but parents got to work.
parents got to pay the bills. Parents got to do things. And in that moment that that kid is not right there, you know, not that it gets the parent off the hook, and the parent may be trying their hardest to get this kid to hang with somebody else or do something else. And then as soon as the parent goes to work, the kid bounces out. And then the parent gets off work, got to go get the kid from wherever they're hanging out, and they may kick in doors waving the 4-4.
Yeah, but
and
see,
snatch the kid out.
But see,
and still have to deal with it.
There's a difference maker. You keep saying parents, and I absolutely agree that parents. But it's these damn PWKs, people with kids, that are oftentimes the bad influence on those children. They've got the guns, just like, you know, you end up hearing about the 2-year-old that ended up shooting themselves with the gun. You get what I'm saying? It's like, you can't be careless. And if you have these weapons, you need to make sure that you, and you got children around, or you got grandkids that may be visiting, or nieces and nephews, that you got, you using your gun locks, or you got your lock box that, you know, they can't get a hold of that gun. And if you got a gun lock on it, they can't just fire the gun because you got the gun lock on it. But it's a lot of people that are careless, and those people are PWKs, in my opinion, because they're not parenting. But when you're parenting, you're doing exactly what you said, Dan.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? But for them PWKs, they
yeah,
probably would allow them to hang around them.
And, you know, when I say this, when I get a kid and then we do, it's called a warm handoff, where you go and you meet the family and you do whatever, right? If I go meet the family and I see it's that way, I already know I'm not going to have this kid for a long time.
Wow. Okay.
And okay. I can tell you why. Because this kid is, because my type of what I do, my program, is going to, I'm going to be hard on this kid. I'm going to build a rapport with this kid. But at some point when this kid mess, I'm building a rapport, waiting on the time for that rapport that I've built to step in. So when this kid starts messing up, because it eventually is going to happen, because I wouldn't be in the system. They wouldn't be in the system, and I wouldn't be involved if that wasn't the case, right?
Right.
So it's going to happen. And when it happens, because I built this rapport, I'm able to stand on business and be like, no, this is what we're going to do. This is what. But if that parent isn't able to back me up and say, no, you're going to listen to Mr. D, you're going to listen to Damon, whatever they're calling me in that moment, you're going to listen to him. If that parent isn't doing that, I already know my system ain't going to work here.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Because they're going to not want to be dealing with me. So I know I don't ever break it off with a kid. I give the kid the chance to come and be a part of what I do and be a part of the system and how I can, you know, I told you before, it takes about 2 years.
Right.
And then you start seeing the difference. They start making decisions better on their own. Right. I know it's going to, when I get a kid and I do that soft hand, that warm handoff meeting, I know at that moment I'm only going to have this kid for about a month.
Yep.
2 months.
We got Al MKE on the True Talk text lines, 833-212-1017. Great morning, Al. Love you. Appreciate you. You hear the conversation. What's your truth?
My truth is a lot of these parents, they don't care. I think the parents and the kids should be not in the neighborhood. They need to find somewhere to go. And as long as you have those parents and those kids in the inner city, they're going to continue to hold the funds and let the city go down the toilet. That's how I feel. I don't care what the mama going through. I don't care what the daddy going through. If you're sitting there drinking Parmesan, collecting a check, not doing your parent duties, you need to be right up in Find the Lacquer, Oshkosh, or somewhere up at Walsall, because there's too many innocent people suffering, and we don't care about your upbringing because you have the free will. And them be the same people quoting Bible verse right on up the Walsall or Oshkosh, and let the people who work here have peace, because we can't have peace trying to look after your kids. Parents already dealing with their kids and dealing with their responsibilities, and they got to come home and deal with your responsibilities. Maybe you should have kept that Bible open and your legs closed. Happy Friday.
Hey, Al MKE, thank you for your call. But I know yesterday I gave concern. I said, I hope you're feeling better. And you said, no, I'm feeling great. I don't know if you lying to yourself or you lying to me.
Throat lozenge or something.
Yeah, you seem like you're going through it, bro. I just want you to please take care of yourself, take care of your health. Because we got winter, spring, rainstorm.
It happens.
Flooding. You get what I'm saying? And just some people that know that they are sick and they get around people and they don't even share that they're feeling bad. And then when you say, hey, are you okay? We're like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah, Al, take care of yourself.
So just take care of yourself.
Because I know you work a lot of jobs from listening to what you said on other areas. And I know you're moving and grooving.
Yeah,
so make sure you take time for yourself.
We love you and we appreciate you. So please, if you take this weekend. I know you may have some things planned, but you got to take some time to just let your body get right.
See, that's what we do at The Truth. We care about our listeners.
Absolutely.
Our listeners all the time that show up and show out for us. So we care about you, Al.
Absolutely.
So make sure you take care of yourself, brother.
Absolutely. We got to get ready to take care of some bills.
What
of
the
course.
Business is.
We got a couple of things coming up next hour. We've got Bishop Walter Harvey from Embassy Center MKE, which has this tremendous event that is coming up. So we'll be able to give you information about that. But next at 8 a.m. Central Standard Time is What the Business Is.
What the Business Is.
You can start calling in now. 833-212-1017 so you can get in the queue. We want you to tell us what your business is, where you're located, something that you may have learned along the way. What the Business Is powered by We Energies, delivering the energy that powers local business. It's coming up at 8 a.m. 833-212-1017. Light the lines up. We'll be black.